the Treasury officials and the Financial Services Authority, people who've gone over to Iceland, are demanding that the Icelandic government and the banks repay large portion of the money that was invested by British depositors, British private depositors, just people like you and I who might have invested in the Icelandic banks. There is a system whereby the British government has said that it guarantees deposits up to £50,000 for each individual. And under a kind of Europe-wide agreement, of which Iceland is supposed to be part, they were due to guarantee the first 16,000 of that. That didn't seem like it was going to happen. And Iceland had also talked about paying its own depositors first. And this made Gordon Brown in particular quite angry. So he sent over his best lawyers to try and come to some kind of agreement whereby the Icelandic government and banks will actually repay that money.
The British government has seized £4 billion worth of Icelandic assets using anti-terror laws. How can they repay depositors using these assets, though?
Well, what they seem to be doing, and what Yvette Cooper, who's the one of the Treasury ministers, has said, is that they're holding those assets in a way as a ransom. And they're saying that they won't release these assets until they know how British savers are going to be reimbursed, which is what seems to be a very sort of pugnacious tactic. It contrasts a little bit with the way the Dutch government have gone about solving the same problem. They've said to the Icelandic government, we want the money back for our savers. And instead of holding them to ransom, they've actually offered to loan them the money so they could actually do that, which seems a very different approach.
How might Iceland's banking crisis affect the way UK local authorities are run?
Well, UK local authorities have got large deposits in Icelandic banks, some of them running into sort of £40 million. Like Kent County Council has got £50 million there. And these are not the majority of their reserves, but they are sometimes large minorities. And the local authorities are going to government this week to say we need significant bailout funds, really, to see us through this, because this could affect the way we deliver services. They don't think it's going to affect that in the short term. They're just worried in the long term. And the local government association yesterday, said that the local government association yesterday said that the idea that they wouldn't be able to pay council officials was forcing it a bit too far, but indeed there are serious problems coming down the track if they can't guarantee that their money comes back.
And British charities also have money invested in Icelandic banks.
That's right, and it's really it's a bit of a murkier picture. We know for sure that there's about £125 million worth of charity money in Icelandic banks, and at the top end, worst case scenario, there could be as much as £1 billion. And that means that there's been a kind of double whammy for charities, because on the one hand, they're losing money potentially, and on the other hand, at a time when things are getting tight, demands on their services are growing. So, for example, charities that offer financial help are obviously seeing more people coming to them. Charities like the Samaritans are talking about more people coming to them, and so on and so forth. So there's a sort of double squeeze, really. And what's more, in fact, is that other organisations, such as local authorities that have been hit by Icelandic, the problem with Icelandic banks, often had agreements with charities. So charities that provide services, and some of those agreements are turning to dust. So they're getting squeezed on all fronts.